session number 17628, Mr. Joseph Clark, reel 16.
Mr. Clark, reel 16. The food you were getting on the island, was it still the basic army stuff, or were you getting anything
different? Yes, still the same.
But you would have be able to buy...
You could buy other things, yes. It wasn't a big village. A lot of us were sleeping in tents under the trees.
And were you quite comfortable in that situation?
Oh, yes, quite happy. There was a big... to get a... there wasn't any swimming pool, but there wasn't a big reservoir, it was a medium-sized reservoir, but I think they used it for watering the land or something like that, you know. But eventually, a lot of the lads used to go down and get in the water and have a bit of a swim backwards and forwards. It wasn't a very big place. But used to use it to it was the same time, getting cooled off and all.
Did you get the opportunity to go to the leave centre that they set up in the centre of the island?
Well, I didn't, but Charlie did. They sent so many from each company, of course. You couldn't deplete a company. And he went to... it was up in the Trudas Mountains. What did they call that place? It was a leave centre, and they were away, I don't know whether they were away a week or a fortnight. I wish I could remember that. It was up in the Trudas Mountains, somewhere up there.
But you didn't personally get
there? But I never got there, no.
Have you any other memories of Cyprus?
You went up there. I remember we went somewhere and we finished up in I went to what's it called? Larnaca? I went to Larnaca for some reason or other. That was a nice seaside resort. Of course, it's much better now. The other place I went to was up, it was in the hills, was Kyrenia. I went up there for some reason or other, with the same driver, of course. Can't remember why, but I've definitely been to Kyrenia, Larnaca. I'd been to Limassol. Well, this was all taking time up and relieving the monotony, more or less. What did they call that place?
How long were you on the island?
The day we stepped ashore in Cyprus, at Famagusta, was my birthday, and that's why I never forget. It was the 26th of July. That's one thing I never forget. The day we stepped ashore at Famagusta was the 26th of July when we left the warship.
When did you leave?
We would leave... Could have been October,
July. October, November?
Could be October, November. Because I know where I was on Christmas Eve.
Now, did you have any idea that you were going to leave so quickly?
No.
What happened?
We were just told to more or less maybe a few days pack. You see, and we didn't know how we were going to leave. There again, you see, you left a lot of the stuff. The stuff that had to be taken with us, say like the big cabinet box that the doctor had all his, or everything in for his, everything had to be put in there, and that was sent to Italian headquarters, and from there on all that was organised, that would go with maybe what might have gone on the same ship, I don't know, but that was sent separate from us. And when we did leave Cato Lacatamia, we went back to Famagusta, I'm sure, and we were put on board another warship, not as big as Leander. We were put on board the HMS Nizam, Australian. That was where we put on. We went on the Nizam. And she sailed us back to, it was fast ship. There again, it was to get you out. I don't know who came in to relieve us in Cyprus. That would be done in the changeover. And believe it or not, we landed at Haifa in Palestine, which was Palestine then. It's not Israel like it is today. It was Palestine. And I don't know what the name of the camp was. We went to a camp there. I don't know what the name was. But while we were there, we did a bit more training. We weren't there long. I believe a lot of the trucks were getting sand track tyres put on.
These were trucks you would take over?
We were going to take over. And, you know, they had those sand track metal strips that if you got bogged down, they were on the sides of the truck. We were marched down to the med once or twice to swim more or less. And I always remember when we're down there, you took your rifles with you then, and they still used to pile arms. That was three rifles together, which I believe have stopped later on in the war. But there was always a guard put on each one. One of the lads was left in charge while in. They used to say, which was a good idea at the time, all those that can, well, you were only in your gym kit, we didn't have swimsuits, just had your gym pants on. All those that can swim into the water. So all the swimmers, they went into the water first. And they made like a, my memory is like a semicircle. So they were swimming about. All those that can partially swim a bit into the water. So they were inside the circle, the semicircle. So you had good swimmers, medium swimmers. And when you had that right, all the rest in. Well, I wasn't a swimmer. You could paddle about. And I thought that was a damn good idea. Somebody must have thought that for others, because if you got into trouble, you had two half rings of swimmers that could get fish out. That was my impression, and I think it was a good idea. Yeah, we went down once or twice.
Did you have the MO truck, the medical truck, particular truck for the medical officer?
We took a 3,000 weight Chev over. Now, when we're in Palestine.
And was that your responsibility to have that packed? Right?
Yeah. That became ours. It was I'm sure it was a Chev. I'm sure.
You weren't there very long, as you say.
No. No, so we got...
Where did you go then?
From there we went Palestine. We were there long enough, mind, for some of the lads to have a trip down to Haifa, because we weren't very far away. There again, there was escorts there.
Did you like Palestine? What you saw?
Yes, it was all right. I'll tell you what, before we left there, with having this malaria course in Cyprus, when we got to Palestine, there was malaria there, and there was a civilian, I don't know who he was. He must have been somebody of authority, though, had come to the battalion. And we had to go to headquarters, and the MO went, and two or three of us. And this civilian took us to it was a workplace where there was a lot of Palestinians working, more or less on the orange groves and that. They were, it wasn't a farm, but he took us to this place, but he was somebody of authority, in civilian authority. And the MO had taken this bottle, large bottle, might have had more than one. There'll be in litres then. And he gave this fella, and they took it to whoever the manager or the boss was of this establishment. It was a working establishment, more on the land. And I learned later on it was quinine. And I believe quinine helps to keep malaria down. I could be wrong, but I think it could be. That's where it was, quinine. And that was just before we left Palestine. And we went from there in convoy, and we were on our way to Iraq.
What are your memories of that quite long journey?
It was a long journey. I believe it lasted about 9 days. It was wicked. But I remember we passed through a Greek camp, I think. There was a camp we passed through but didn't stay. And somewhere along the line we crossed the Jordan. And we went into Transjordan.
Did the landscape change?
Oh, yes. Once we left Palestine and got into... I always used to say... They used to say out in the Holy Land there that there'd been a flood. I think there had been a flood, because all we saw was sand and rocks. And it must have been for 400 or 500 miles, sand. But anyway, we went through Transjordan and into Iraq. There was still a road there then. There was still tarmac there then.
Can you tell me what happened at the end of the day? You obviously drove for the day. What happened to you then at the end of that first stage or second stage or whatever stage?
Well, some of them just bivouacked.
You'd be pulled into a camping
situation. Oh, yes. We were all pulled into one place. Yes. Oh, yes. And we were told... Our truck was told, probably others, I don't know what happened to others, if we got broken down and lost, make sure the telegraph wires are on your left. The wires went, if they were on your left, you're going in the right direction. I can remember that distinctly.
Were you following the oil pipeline?
Yes. So a lot of the, well, you see, the oil pipeline... Every so far, I think it would be every, oh, I would guess, every 100 miles, there was pumping stations. There was H1, H2, H3, H4. That was all we knew them by. They were pumping stations that were pumping the oil from Iraq back to Palestine where, or wherever. I remember that distinctly, but you know, the pipelines, they weren't buried. Not all of it, some of them was on the top, but of course they were big pipes. And I believe they used to, the guards used to patrol them to see if there was any damage or anything, and they used to patrol on.
What did a pumping station look like?
It was, well, just a pumping station. You know, it was a big place. They had the water and everything there. There was engineers there which were, I believe some of them were British. The management was British, I'm sure, with others. But when we got there, we stopped at a place called, we just pulled up, my Mafraq. Nothing there, just a stop. And then another place we pulled up at was Ramadi. That was where we stopped there. But we were only travelling about, some days you might put 100 mile in, 110, 120. And then, of course, you're getting held up with sandstorms. And we were always at the end. We travelled at the end of the column. And at the end of the column was the, at that time we had a Major Jackson, who I think he was in the six Durhams at one time. But he was at the end of the column with his truck. So if anything happened, you see, we were there to move forward and not go running around. By this time, we were travelling on the truck with the MO. There was the MO and his batman, Sergeant Jack. It was me and Charlie Bird and the doctor. But this Holt was driving again. And that's right. We went on. We got to Mafraq, Ramadi. We kept pulling into places, but we broke down lots of times. And what they said was, there's an LAD following this convoy. Light Aid Detachment mechanics. They were from the Remi. If you break down, stay put. And I always remember a thing, and I've never forgot it. This LAD truck pulled up behind us, said, "What's the matter?" Because Jack had the bonnet up. Says, "I'm losing petrol here." And there was this pipe, petrol pipe, and it was leaking petrol. This mechanic, I don't know who they were, you know, but there was lots of them. They would be detailed off. He says, "I'll soon fix that." And the strange thing was, I knew nothing about lorries, cars, trucks. He took a hacksaw, a little hacksaw, out of his gear, and he sawed the hole out of the pipe. Sawed about an inch or so either side of the hole in that, where the pipe was only about, would it be a quarter of an inch diameter? Maybe about that. But just not any. And it was, I think it was copper, I think. I think it was copper or something like that. And he sawed the hole out of the pipe, and he took out of his pocket a piece of rubber tubing. And he took one end of it and he fitted it over one end of the pipe, fastened it up with whatever, and then he put the other piece of rubber pipe over the other end where he'd cut out this piece of pipe, and he fastened up. So you had the pipe with the piece taken out and a rubber in it. And he said, "Right, that'll get you back to where you want to be till we get it put right." and that chook went. And I've never seen that any time, but I never forgot it. I just thought, how clever.
When you stopped at the end of the day, was there a hot meal prepared for you?
You got a meal.
The cook's gone on and prepared it on,
yes,
on the side.
Yes, you pulled into the area. But there's many a time, you know, we used to, whenever the convoy stopped, you might stop for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour at the most. There was always somebody had a tin, put some sand in, fill it with sand, one or two drops of petrol, and on went the pan or the kettle. Make a cup of tea, had a brew up. Now that was regular. But you had to be very careful, because if you put petrol on sand and you put anything on it, it'll flare straight up. So what you used to do, use a stick and stir it up a bit, and it used to flame up again. But you had to be very careful. But that was done many, many times. You always got a cup of tea. That was done.
Did you sleep on the trucks, or did you have tents at night?
No, we just used to sleep at the side of the truck. If you got inside, you were lucky. Take your turns.
There's no tentage or bivouacs, anything like that nature?
Not on all the journey. Later on there was.
In the morning, you'd breakfast.
Yeah.
What did you do for food between breakfast and stopping for your dinner at night? Eating on the journey, in effect.
You might have been given a haversack ration. You might have been given a haversack ration.
Was there much opportunity to clean yourselves? There must have been a lot of dust.
Not really. Not on that 9 days. I reckon it was round about 9 days, that.
So you must have been pretty grimy.
You were. In fact, we used to use our gas goggles, you know, gas shields. We used to put them on to keep the sand out of your eyes, and at the end of the day, when you took them off, there was the mark around your face. Oh, yes.
Must have been very monotonous for those of you that weren't driving.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Nothing to do. Just on the truck, stop. And when these sandstorms come up, you know, they're pretty wicked. Well, of course, you can't carry on. I mean, some days you might only travel less than 50 miles. And I believe we were supposed to be travelling about 120 yards distance.
Did you close up at night?
The trucks? Well, when you pulled into the area where they'd... You see, you had your navigator out front, and then there was people out there in front of you, travelling ahead of you, would be picking the site out for you.
When you ran out of the road...
Oh, we're on the sand then.
Did that alter the way that the column was organised? Wouldn't be truck behind truck, because it had been on the road?
No, not close behind, no.
Spread out a bit.
Spread out.
What were you travelling on then?
Just sand.
Do you recall the rock area where there were lots of rocks lying around?
No. Can't remember that, but there was lots of them. I used to say there must have been a flood here. But there was no green grass, you see.
Did you see any sign of life at all other than at the pumping stations?
You always saw... These, well, we'll call them Iraqis. Where they come from, you saw them, they were nomadic, you see. They were travelling with camels and that, they were nomads. You saw them on the way, you know. And whenever you left a site, we used to be puzzled by it, amazed by it. When you left a site and you were moving on further on, where on earth these came from, these Arabs, God only knows. But they were there to see if there was anything left. Salvage stuff we might have left. Put them all in a tin and salvage. But you see, when you did stop, they used to dig, they would dig a trench for latrines, you know. And what they used to do then, before we left, they used to pour oil or petrol on it and set fire to it. and when it was burned out, they used to mark it with a stick, put on foul earth, so that the next lot that was coming on wouldn't dig the same place. I can remember that distinctly. But when we, as we travelled further on, the first place we came to proper was the RAF base at, what do they call that place? The RAF had been there for years.
Habinia.
Habinia. Some used to call it Habinia. Some used to call it Habania. I used to call it Habania. But we stopped there. That was the place. And it was part of it was walled in. But in their mind, they had their own picture hall, their own hospital and everything, because I believe the planes used to fly up from India to Habania. And we had tents then. We moved into tents then. We pitched some small tents in the dunes, not just over the road from Habania. And I remember being marched down there to the picture hall. And we saw the pictures in there, because we were only staying over. And that was where we saw the pictures.
Did you get an opportunity to have a bath there? Or taken for a bath?
Not that I can remember. There may have been showers. We may have been showered. Probably we were. But we didn't stay long. And we went from there, Habania. Of course, when we were in the tents outside there, the first time we pitched those tents, there had to be somebody awake all night. It's a guard. You weren't allowed all, say, half a dozen of you get in a tent and sleep off. There had to be somebody awake all night. Change over.
And what was this for?
Thieves. I remember there wrapping. They used to fasten the rifle strap round the wrist, some lads, and others slept on mine, scooped a hole out and put a ground shade down, slept on it, to stop the sand from getting in. But that was it, Habania. And then the next...
Were any weapons stolen, do you know?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of.
So then you went on from Habania?
We went on from there to Kirkuk.
Did you go through Baghdad itself?
Yes. Would we get to Baghdad before Kirkuk? Probably. Yes, we did. When we were coming towards Baghdad, now we ran off the sand onto the tarmac. That was when the trucks had to move up together. Bonnet to tail, he used to say. And that was where we moved together. And when we went through Baghdad, we went through as one unit, you know, all together, so that no Arabs could run between the trucks. Now, that was a fact. Yes, we did. We went through Baghdad as bonnet to tail. And as we went through, on some of them, the lads who was on the troop carriers, they were like sitting looking out on the side of the truck, and they had the rifles as though they were prepared if anything happened. That was through Baghdad. And I remember, I don't think we were the best of friends. The whole army, I mean, because there was a lot of the natives there as we went through, threw stones at us, at the trucks. And one of the officers got hit. Can't remember his name. One of them got hit with a stone or a pebble or whatever it was. But that was about the only incident I can remember. But I can remember travelling through. It was an experience. And then we must have gone on to KK.